Okay, quiet down, everyone. The next talk is about to begin. Quiet down. Okay, good. So it is a great pleasure for me to introduce our next speaker. Ruben came to this dev room last year and did an absolutely amazing presentation on Vulkan and the use of Vulkan in Llama CPP. And ever since, I've been bugging him to keep presenting on that lovely subject. And so he agreed, and so he is. Take it away, Ruben.
Thank you. All right, so my name is Ruben Ortlam. I'm now a very fresh machine learning engineer from Red Hat. This work is like my work on Vulkan has mostly happened in my free time, actually. Took way too much of that. But I want to like briefly introduce what's Vulkan API. Why should you even care about it? Why is it relevant? Just briefly about Llama CPP as well. Then what have we done since last year? So there was a ton of work on the back end, on the Llama CPP back end. There's a lot that has changed since then. Some benchmarks actually that show like the part is how does it actually like compare to the usual suspects for running large language models on GPUs. What are the difficulties that I'm still struggling with, and that all of like that you will also struggle with if you try to use Vulkan for something like this? And the conclusion about is it worth using? Is it worth putting in the time to use Vulkan here? So basically, what is Vulkan? Isn't that a gaming API? So yes-ish, it's an API for graphics. You can actually it's a successor to OpenGL. And the idea there was to get rid of some of the inefficiencies in OpenGL by making it a lot more abstract. And what they ended up with is basically like a generic interface to GPUs. And so you can actually use the same kind of API calls and the same kind of like shader or quote unquote kernel code to run on all kinds of GPUs, not just the NVIDIA, the usual NVIDIA graphics cards. And so my interest here is mostly about like I don't have a huge like $200,000 NVIDIA server somewhere. I don't have data centers, so I just have like some PC somewhere with an old like graphics card. How do I make that run a large language model so that I can run? So that I can actually use it for something that I don't want to share with the cloud or something like that. So Vulkan can actually do that. You don't actually have to use the graphics part of it. You can just run compute shaders as a replacement for kernels. It's basically the same thing. And that way you can actually use it for machine learning. And what I did was I added it to Llama CPP, like it's over 2 years ago now. And it has grown a lot since. Llama CPP, you should be familiar with. We've also talked already about it, so I'm not going to go too deep into this. But basically, the idea was that whatever hardware you're playing around somewhere, you should be able to run an LLM on it. Of course, what kind of LLM you can run still depends on like how much memory do you have and how like patient are you with waiting for your responses. Llama CPP is based on a like static graph structure. It's not that different from like other approaches we've seen. The cool thing, and that has also grown like I think since last year, is that it's basically abstracted away all of the backend stuff into something that you can execute on various backends. So the graph, the compute graph that contains all of the different operations. Gets sent to a backend, and it can even be split up and sent to multiple backends. So there's a lot of like interesting stuff you can do here. So there's a lot of like backends that currently exist. Like the most relevant ones are of course like CPU, CUDA, Metal, and Vulkan. The ROC M1 for AMD is basically on top of the CUDA backend, so it reuses most of the code from that. And then there's also an OpenCL-based one that's, I think, that's aimed at mobile phones. There's a CAN for, I think, Huawei accelerators. There's WebGPU that's, I'm not sure how usable that is yet, which is also interesting, and some like Blas or ZenDNN, which is just trying to trying to offload large matrix multiplications to libraries that are more optimized for on the CPU in that example. So what actually happened since last year? The most important thing we've done is flash attention. So probably if you've ever looked into attention and the way it's used in large language models, you've also come across flash attention. It's the paper was hugely influential. There's multiple versions of it now. The usual way to add it, I think, in PyTorch-based projects is to actually use the code from specific GitHub repos. So we have a custom shader there that was actually not, I didn't write it. That was Jeff Boyce from NVIDIA. And last year, I think it the one version of it that was NVIDIA specific already existed. That's the Cooperative Matrix 2 variant. That's Cooperative Matrices is Vulkan's abstraction for tensor cores. So, any kind of matrix acceleration. And so since last year, we've also worked on the Cooperative Matrix 1, which is the Kronos version, which is not specific to NVIDIA. So that is the one that will, for example, run on modern AMD hardware. And of course, there's also a scalar version. If your GPU doesn't have any kind of hardware acceleration for matrix multiplications, even you can still run flash attention. It will give you actually a huge increase in performance with context that has grown very very large. That's become incredibly important in modern large language models because the context that these models can support is extremely big. And so with this, you fuse a lot of operations into one, and so you do not need huge intermediate buffers, and you can run it in one kernel call instead of a bunch of operations. So with something like 128K context, you will see a huge difference from using this. And so implementing this was very important, and also making it available to more hardware was also a huge step, and is one of the things that made a huge difference for performance here in the Vulkan backend. There's still a lot to do there. I've just over the last few weeks, I've spent time optimizing the AMD, the version running on modern AMD hardware. There was I got a ton of performance out of that. I had some crazy reports of people getting four times faster inference from that. So that's and the same thing. There's probably still a lot of optimization work left to do there that can be done. If anyone else wants to take a look at it, I would be happy not to have to do all of it. Another thing that's actually one thing I wanted, I worked on over the last maybe half a year ago or so, is using DP4A or INT8 accelerations. That's a hardware feature a dot product of four packed INT8s in one. You pack them into one INT32. You multiply each one. You add that to another integer, and you get a result. And all of that happens in a single clock cycle. And that's something that's available on some of the GPUs that are not that do not have the hardware to use something like tensor cores to accelerate matrix multiplications. And so this is actually something very interesting for Llama CPP, because we're mostly focused on quantized models, and the quantization schemes that we're using, allow you to do a lot of the operations within INT8 multiplications and additions, so you can actually use this and also get a lot of a big performance increase. The hardware that this most affects is, for example, NVIDIA Pascal, which was the last generation without tensor cores, which does have this dot product support. And we also have like an AMD, the Vega 20 is very interesting. That was one of the like secret, you want to do GPU, you want to do like GPU acceleration, like large language models at home. What are cool accelerators you can import from China, from data centers or something. That was one of those was the MI50, and that's Vega 20. So that's one of the things that profits a lot from this. And the Intel GPUs also, this is also like the fastest you can, or the most like relevant acceleration feature on Intel Alchemist. And so from writing, like I just had to write this this code, like I had to add this to the code once, and it runs on all of these GPUs and also helped in some other cases where tensor cores weren't usable for other reasons. So one more thing that's very interesting that primarily Jeff Bolz also has been working on is operator fusion. So in large language models, you have a ton of like, I mean, this example is exaggerated. I just made up some timings. But basically for each operation in the models, you often have the pattern that you have a big operation and then a few follow-up like small transformations on the same data on the result of the big operation. If you do that in the regular way, then you get some kind of dispatch overhead. You have to load the memory, you have to do the calculation, you have to store it, and then you have to load it again and do another transformation on the same data. And so if you put all of that into the big operation, basically you can save a lot of time by not storing the intermediate result and by dispatching fewer kernels or compute shaders. So that's one optimization that's quite useful, but it's also very specific. Like we don't have a generic way of doing this, so you can't just, if you add a new model architecture and it works differently, it won't immediately do this because the operations don't fit what's already implemented in this sense. So the existing fusions won't apply to the new model, and so someone has to go and look at the new model, figure out where's potential for fusion, and then actually implement it. So I've heard some cool ideas about how that could be done in a more dynamic way, but that's one of the areas that we're still like that would be interesting to look at, but someone has to find the time, of course. Yeah, and of course there's much more that has happened. So we also got bfloat 16 support, which wasn't originally supported in Vulkan, but got in through extensions. There was a lot of work on reducing CPU overhead. So in the beginning we had, like last year even still, we had like a kind of dry run that where you had to go through the whole model and figure out how much memory do I actually need in the temporary compute buffers, allocate that, and then run and then go through the whole graph again and actually run the compute kernels. And then we found a way to reduce that by doing all of these steps like on demand. So it actually basically just waits until all operations are done, then figures out like resizes buffers or something, and then continues. So there was some crazy work on like fences, like about like basically a fence is something you wait for. So you wait for an operation on the GPU to finish, and someone figured out that if you actually just wait until the whole like graph has been computed, that takes out some of the like that for some the CPU has to wake up again after sleeping for so long that it actually takes quite a bit longer than it has to be. And so that was solved by adding a fence somewhere early on the graph and then busy idling until the end, so the CPU isn't actually sleeping at that point. There were also some stable diffusion operators, which isn't like relevant for large language models, but there's also like, it's very cool to be able to run like stable diffusion on Vulkan, and huge number of other stuff that happened here. So I want to show some benchmarks here. So on NVIDIA, actually, like basically what I've done is just run the same kind of like the Llama Bench tool that's in the repo, and in this case on my 3090, and I've run it with the CUDA backend in Llama CPP, and I've done the same thing with Vulkan. On the y-axis, it's how fast the result was. On the x-axis, it's how much context was in the KV cache. And that's actually exactly where flash attention becomes extremely important. And here you can see that basically the Vulkan backend is slower than the CUDA backend, but it's not by much. And actually, over the context, it stays approximately within that area. And so the performance is actually competitive, although slow. So you might ask, like, why would I use Vulkan if I can also just use CUDA? But there are some cases where that would actually make things a lot easier. For example, if you already have a game or something that you want to integrate AI into, and so you could now like add CUDA into that, but that would be a huge hassle. Or you just use Vulkan, which you're already using for graphics, and you can get pretty competitive performance out of that as well. So this is prompt processing, so prefill. That's also where the tensor cores get used. The same like in token generation, there's also some differences. Like in GPT OSS, we're still like there's optimization left to be done. We're still lagging behind CUDA there. But actually, there was like here on the DeepSeek 2, which is that's actually the DeepSeek 2 is the architecture. That's actually the GLM 4.7 flash model, the recent one. And so for some reason, we're actually faster currently in token generation on Vulkan than on CUDA, which is quite interesting. But more interesting for me personally is the AMD RX 8060S, which is the Strix Halo GPU. You can get that with 128 gigabytes of available VRAM, which makes it very interesting for a mixture of experts models. And so here you can see that on the old Llama 8B model, it's actually slightly slower in prompt processing, but in both the huge GPT OSS 120B and the new like GLM 4.7, it outperforms the ROCm backend in prompt processing. And in token generation, same thing. Even in the GPT OSS like case, it's actually a big difference there. It's the Vulkan backend is currently quite a bit faster here. On the GLM 4.7 is slightly behind at longer context, but faster at lower context. So there's work left to be done there. But there are also cases where there's still a lot of work to be done. This is exactly the Vega 20 thing. So there you can see that the scalar flash attention is actually, the implementation is actually not optimized for this hardware. It doesn't run well. So while Vulkan can be faster, for example, in the GPT OSS case, at zero context, it drops much faster, so at larger contexts, you get much less performance here. And token generation is similar, so it drops too fast, there's optimization to be done. If someone wants to look into it, I'm happy to help. Otherwise, I'm going to have to do that, I guess. Another example here is Intel. And I wanted to show this because it's an example for driver issues that I'm still running into. So you can see that the results I got don't make much sense. Like there's something that actually got faster at larger contexts, which isn't correct. And so basically this is an example of a driver issue. Like the Intel Linux driver is still like the Vulkan driver is actually not optimized for this kind of thing, and there's a lot to be. I'm having a lot of issues optimizing for it, and so that leads to examples like this. I've had issues with all drivers at this point. Like I think I've found bugs in all of them and reported them. So this is one of the things I'm dealing with here. The other thing that I'm how do I actually optimize a compute shader? And one of the issues I have is NVIDIA does provide a way, like with Ansight graphics, to get some insight there. For AMD, I don't have anything like that, and for Intel, I don't either. So it's actually a lot of guesswork to optimize a shader here. You can apply the same techniques as for CUDA, but AMD doesn't behave the same way as NVIDIA, and Intel is much different. So I had to do like a lot of guessing, a lot of trial and error to figure out what is actually fast on what hardware. So yeah, in conclusion, so Vulkan is very interesting. You can get a lot of performance out of it, as you've seen. Actually, you can beat some of the proprietary APIs if you put in enough work. But the development side is actually much harder than something like CUDA, because you have to do a lot of the work on the host side, a lot more work, a lot of boilerplate to actually get anywhere with Vulkan. The tooling is limited in comparison. There's a lot to be, like, I'm hoping that can be improved in the future, but it's still like out there. And the hardware compatibility is much, much broader than any other, like, any of the other usual APIs, so that's the big advantage. The binary size is something that's often forgotten. You actually get much, much smaller binaries. Like if you download PyTorch for CUDA, you get multiple gigabytes of device code. In theory, if you do the same thing with Vulkan, you would have something very small, because the code gets compiled to the device-specific code on demand during the run. And the performance of Vulkan can actually be very good. But there's always something you cannot do with Vulkan, so there's the potential is slightly lower. But as you've seen, like, you can get actually pretty close. I hope I've got some of you interested in using Vulkan, helping out on the back end, or maybe integrating it somewhere else. I hope there's that in future we can use it more often and get to somewhere where we are not as limited to one single vendor or one single way of writing, or where we have to actually write completely new kernels to use a different GPU vendor, use different hardware. So yeah, thank you.